Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in.
This is Reverend Terry Yasuko Ogawa, recording from Western Massachusetts. Our first reading comes from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in God's sanctuary. Praise God in God's mighty firmament. Praise God for God's mighty deeds. Praise God according to God's surpassing greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our second reading comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 19 through 32. Now Saul and they, and all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the Israelites, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. The Israelites said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will greatly enrich the man who kills him, and will give him his daughter, and make his family free in Israel." David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." His eldest brother Eliab heard him talking to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down just to see the battle." David said, "What have I done now?" It was only a question. He turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. And he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Our third reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and went to the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Thus ends the reading.
Good morning and welcome to the first Friday of Eastertide. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from from Laguna Beach, California. Vacation'll do weird things to your head. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 150, 1 Samuel 17, and Acts 5. I've always been kind of interested in this exchange between David and his brother, Eliab, the oldest brother. And so the youngest brother comes down, and maybe he does just want to see the battle, but he also hears Goliath, defaming the armies of Israel. And call it, naivete, call it, wishful thinking, the kind of illusionment of youth or something. But like he believes all these things that the Bible says about their God. And he can't believe that everybody's just standing there looking at this giant defame the God of Israel. Like, it's like the Easter Bunny, or Santa. At first, you're in denial. Like, no, that can't be true. It's his first encounter with the stakes of what everybody says they believe. So if what everybody says they believe is true, then they should know that God can defeat any enemy, regardless of the imbalance of power and firepower, regardless of the terrain. Like, don't you all read the Bible? Like, don't you understand we've been through this before? What am I not understanding? Because the Bible's pretty clear. And David says, I'm trying to find, I keep looking at the brothers thing. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It's not even about Israel. It's about God. He knows that Israel is God's chosen people, and God's chosen people is doing what? Like, he's flabbergasted. And you don't get that without believing in a world such that the Bible creates, where God comes to the rescue of God's people, but it isn't always, God sweeping the people off their feet and doing everything. God tells them what to do and how to accomplish it, and then it is in tandem with their own actions that wins the day, right? God didn't just, bring fire and brimstone all over all of Canaan and all of a sudden, yay, it's empty, and so now let's occupy it. Like, no. It is a tandem effort. And so David, let's just pretend he really believes this stuff. Let's pretend you really believe this stuff. And you come down and you see that for 40 days, the people of God have been resting on their laurels, afraid maybe, lazy maybe, not remembering their own history maybe, But you do. Like, you remember this. Maybe you find these stories interesting and exciting, and here you find yourself seemingly right in the midst of another story. And the way it's going doesn't reflect the way that God seems to want the story to go. And so you say, you ask, what the fuck is going on here? Like, are we allowing this guy to talk about our God this way? And there is this discussion of, like, if someone does it, then they'll get all this shit. But that doesn't seem to motivate David. He's like, wait a minute, but I thought we all believe these things. That's the sense that I get with this when, you know, David first comes down. Like, wait, haven't y'all read the Bible? Like, this is straight out of the Bible. I mean, it both is and isn't. Like, if we believe that, you know, some of it's historical, like, they're in the Bible, but David seems to recognize that fact in a way that others don't. Like, we are the people of God. This is the story of God. We are, you know, an unbroken narrative line from the creation of the world through, the redemption from Egypt and the taking of this promised land. Like, are we going to break that line and just sit here and be harassed or dominated by this foreign power? And his brother, his oldest brother, maybe a little disenchanted, as we all kind of sort of do as we get older, you know, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit more cynical, he says to his brother, I know the evil in your heart. You just came down to watch the fight. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if he thinks like David came expecting Israel would lose or something, but clearly Eliab is one of the men of Israel who've been listening to this harassment for days and has done seemingly nothing. And so he reacts, he puts David down, making the problem or the priority some imagined, you know, disposition of his youngest brother, the evil in his heart and the presumption. And David's like, it was just a question. Like, why do you feel so strongly about this? I was just asking, like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And Eliab is indicted because he's a member of the armies of the living God. And the question may have been rhetorical, but it implicates his brother Eliab. Why haven't you done anything? Why hasn't Saul done anything? Why are we just standing here listening to this shit when we know that God is on our side? And it, you know, it sounds just like Joshua and Caleb. God's with us. Let's do this thing. And the people seem to have forgotten, including David's own brother. And so even family can fail us and fail our story and our history. And those are the wounds, I think, that cut the deepest. You know, Martin Luther King said, you know, it's the silence of your friends is much worse than the slings and arrows of the enemy. And friends can come and go, but family you have whether you like it or not. And so the silence of your friends might really suck, but even worse, I imagine, are the when your own family can't come to your defense and actively kind of cut you down. And it makes me think of the disputed line in Matthew about, I've come not to bring peace but a sword, because I'll divide father and son, mother and daughter. The stuff that we believe, we either really believe it or we don't. We either, you know, it either cuts all the way to the cutting board, for lack of a better metaphor, or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's all that matters. But if it does, it has to go all the way. We have to truly believe it. And I think that's, you know, we may not be killed for believing what we believe, but it must be that foundation, or it really is just another, it's just another accessory in our life.
A prayer for those we love, from the Book of Common Prayer.
Almighty God, we entrust all who are dear to us to your never-failing care and love for this life and the life to come, knowing that you are doing for them better things than we can desire or pray for. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.